Hello, creeps. It's me, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And thanks for listening to 8-Bit Geek.
Hey everybody, and thanks for tuning in to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. My name is Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
And I am Kevin.
And you are tuning into a 8-Bit Horror Fest. That's hashtag 8-Bit Horror Fest if you are following on Twitter and on Facebook. Every October, if you haven't listened before, Doug gets really crazy about his film watching extravaganza, and he...
Sure, I probably watch more movies in the month of October than I do the entire year.
That's good.
And this year, he did something special. He has recruited us to watch at least one horror film a week, and then we come on and talk about it. And then, of course, he talks about the rest of the films that he's watched during the week. But I'm going to let Doug take it away because, well, this is his kind of deal.
All right, so like you said, every October we do a month of movies.
He wishes.
Every month we do a month of October movies.
That would be fantastic.
This is Halloween.
New show, 8-Bit Geek, is now changing into 8-Bit Horror Fest year long. So this week, the movies we were supposed to watch, the one that everyone had to watch, was Curse of Chucky. Mm-hmm. We all watched that. The other movies I recommended for people to watch were Fido, The Monster Squad, Sleepy Hollow, Grabbers, The Exorcist, and Housebound. All these movies available on Netflix. So this week, like I said, we all watched Curse of Chucky. Now, Kevin and I have actually seen this before. So
yes.
It was like a rewatch for us. But Jeremy?
I didn't see it. I've never seen it. And it was a first for me.
I want to know what you thought about it.
Yeah.
You've seen the other movies, right? You've seen
yes.
the rest.
Okay, so to give a little bit of setup, I saw these films when I was younger, and probably the last time I've seen any of the Chucky movies were when I was in my younger teens. So it's definitely going back to the franchise is definitely given some, you know, some nostalgic memories come up. But it is definitely a different watching experience for me this time around. You know, in the first couple, I was terrified because of this doll because I was younger and I had a good guy doll, and we talked about that. And I'm not a good guy doll, but my buddy doll. And, you know, it scared me to death. And I couldn't stop watching, even though I was scared. this time it was, I mean, I thought about it after I watched this film. I was going to talk about it on today's show. Horror films, I think, are so great when you're younger because of the fact that you're not jaded by all the cues and everything that you know what a horror film should be. And like when I was watching this, I knew exactly where he was going to come in. I knew exactly what was going to happen. And I mean, there were some surprises in some of the death scenes, but for the most part, there wasn't any jump scares that actually got me, you know? But overall, I enjoyed the film. I thought it was a fun, I was going to say retelling, but it wasn't really a retelling. Mm-hmm. It's just a continuation. It's a fun continuation of the franchise, and the story itself was pretty good, even though I was expecting a tie-in with Andy, and there wasn't really one. There wasn't really an explanation until probably towards the end of the film of why Chucky was there visiting them. And that's okay, but it just kind of, it took me out of the experience a little bit because I was expecting some kind of upfront telling of why he's terrorizing this family. And but overall, I enjoyed the kills. I enjoyed Chucky. The only thing that I didn't, Chucky's face was a little bit different than the other ones, from I remember. He definitely looked a little, I think the budget could have been a little bit better on his actual, when he was alive. He didn't look as animated as the other past films.
Definitely more, like, there are definitely times when it's like CG, and there's definitely times when it's like a puppet, mm-hmm. which there was a point where I was like, oh yeah, I totally forgot he was CG in this movie. And then he wasn't, he was like clearly a puppet, and it was like, oh yeah, you are a puppet.
Yeah.
I think puppets have just gotten better. That's probably what it is. And, like, he may not necessarily be a puppet with, like, a person's, like, hand up his ass, but, like, a puppet, like, he might be, like, a robot sort of puppet, where he's being controlled by a puppeteer off screen.
Yeah.
With, like, a remote control. And, like, he's actually probably programmed, but...
I don't know. If you go back and watch those movies, though, it looks pretty much like he used to look. It's just, I think we put some kind of difference in him. He still had the, like, when he would talk, the mouth would just kind of roll like that, so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, there's just something a little, I don't know, there's something off from what I remember, and I look back at the pictures of the past Chuckies, and I don't know, maybe it's the eyes, maybe it's the eyebrows, how they're raised, and maybe the, I don't know, there's something different. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, since his face got all fucked up from 3, I think 3 is when his face gets just, because that's when he gets demolished. Like, he
really
right.
I thought it was like, 2, where he gets, like, pretty much the end of 2, he gets thrown into, like, a shredder, doesn't he? Or is that 3?
3. Because in 3 is when they're at the camp, they're at the army camp, and at the very end, they sneak onto the amusement park, and he falls into, like, the giant fan.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know if that was 2 or 3, because I know Alex was growing up at that time.
Yeah, it's 3.
Okay. That's so, yeah, I knew one of those. Yeah.
Because he scares that dude into having a heart attack, and he falls back on the glass, like, model of, like, the boot camp area, or the reform school that they're at, and he just kind of stands there and is like, well, fuck.
Like, yeah.
He just made the guy have a heart attack. Sitting there with his knife, like, aw. Well, shit.
I remember that scene. Now I do. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I love the Chucky franchise. It's probably one of my favorites. In fact, I had all of them on DVD. And then when this movie came out, they re-released all of them together on Blu-ray. And I immediately bought that. I was just like, yep. Like, I'll buy them all again. I don't care. Like,
Yeah.
It's not my favorite in the series, because I feel like, I think I mentioned this on this past week's podcast, where, like, the first one they were like, let's be scary, and the second one they were like, okay, let's be honest here, like, it's not that scary, it's pretty funny, like, so let's make it a little more funny. And then, like, they've gotten funnier, like, and more just absurd as they've gone on. And then this one they're like, let's kind of go back to that first one where it's funny and scary,
right,
with a little more leaning a little more towards the scary aspect of things and a little less funny. I liked his tie-in to the original movies, where, like, because he's telling a story about how he met this family as Charles Lee Ray, the serial killer, and, like, he kidnaps the mom, blah blah blah, all the stuff happens, the cops show up, he runs from the cops, he runs into the toy store, he gets killed, struck by lightning, or whatever, he's doing the soul thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. He puts a soul inside the doll, which is literally where the first movie starts.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I when I saw that, I was like, oh, what a great fucking tie-in.
Yeah.
I was like, what a great way to tell this.
So I liked that. There's some acting that was really terrible. But that's true in every movie, right?
I mean, that's really any horror film. I was saying, you're right, Doug. It seems like this one, they really tried to put the things back on rails, you know, because they were crazy. I mean, you had, you know, Bride of Chucky, which was awesome. Like, Jennifer Tilly is fantastic, by the way, in all of these films. Uh-huh. But then, like, in Seed of Chucky, it was like, whoa, this is getting a little ridiculous. Like, so two puppets fuck, and they make a baby puppet?
Yeah, who's voiced by Billy Boyd, who played one of the hobbits in Lord of the Rings. He played
yeah
it was either Merry or Pippin. I think it was Pippin.
It was the one that wasn't Charlie from Lost.
Yeah, which he was Merry.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. And the other one was Pippin. I'm pretty sure it was Pippin.
Oh, so then it's Pippin then. Yeah,
yeah. So I always thought that was really funny.
Yeah, and it was great. I'm sorry,
I was just saying, I love that was him, because it's like, you did Lord of the Rings, one of, like, the biggest motion pictures of all time, and then you went almost immediately afterwards and voiced a fucking doll in the Chucky movie.
Right. I mean, I'm sure that was a passion project right there.
Yeah.
Or a paycheck. You know what, though?
If I was him and they asked me to do the voice, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he did a great job. And the thing I noticed about it, I was kind of IMDBing this whole series. Don Mancini has actually, you know, usually when you see something like Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday 13, you'll see the director originally do like maybe the first two and then kind of move on and somebody else does them. No, he wrote and directed all of the different Child's Plays along with a bunch of short stories. So that was cool to see. Like, you actually had a lot of the original people come back. You know, obviously Brad Dourif did a fantastic job as Charles Lee Ray and Chucky, and it was great to see what you guys were saying. Again, I'm just kind of going back on it. When you do see him in the film doing the flashbacks, and you know, you could see the makeup obviously because he caked on. He looked like Tommy Wiseau, by the way, with that long hair.
He did, especially at the party scene with the birthday party where he's standing there. I was about to say, Lisa, don't leave me, Lisa.
Oh, hi, family.
Oh, hi, family.
But, like, he did a great job, and it was fantastic seeing that again. And you're right, how it all kind of how it pieced everything together to where now it's, like, the perfect circle. It's like, where do you go from there? You know, it's like the next Chucky movie, if there is another one. I have no...
fingers crossed, man.
Yeah, and the way it ends...
All the other ones went to theater. This was actually the first one that went straight to DVD.
And I thought it was great. I mean, it was fantastic. Yeah. You know, I didn't give it as much of a chance as I did the other ones. I don't know why. But when I did, like, it blew my mind.
I think it was because it went straight to DVD. Like, I remember when it came out, like, 2 years ago, being like, oh, man, why is this going straight to DVD? Like, man, that it must not have the oomph that it used to. It must be a new director. Like, you know, all this stuff. Like, it must not be as good or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. Maybe they're just like, you know what? We'll probably break even in the theater. Fuck it. Let's just straight to DVD. Like, all the fans are going to buy it. Like, you know, people are going to watch it.
Oh, so this did go straight to DVD.
Huh?
This one did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why I didn't really know it existed.
Very possible, man. I mean, like, I found out about it because I just always seem to find out about stuff like that. Like, oh, this movie just is coming out. I don't know.
That's strange. I mean, it was good enough to be a theater release.
It was. I agree.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I mean, besides some bad actors, they did have some good actors. Like, I liked the female lead, the one that is in the wheelchair. I thought she was great.
Yeah, she was.
You know
really
who that is?
No.
It's his fucking daughter. That's Brad Dourif's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Did not know that. That's fantastic.
I forget her first name, but yeah, that is Brad Dourif's daughter. Was that
That's
fun?
Fantastic.
I remember seeing that originally again when the movie came out. Like, oh look, it's him and it's her. This must be like a family, like pet project sort of thing. Like, that's why it's going straight to DVD.
Fiona Dourif.
Yeah, like of course that's why he wanted to make a movie with his daughter. But again, it was good.
Yeah, really good.
Wow, I didn't put two and two together. Now that I look at her, she looks exactly like him. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That's pretty neat. I was expecting more. I'm really interested to know what happened to the damn girl at the end of the movie,
right?
Because he does the fucking chant on her, but he still, spoiler, he still is in the doll body.
Wait,
at the end of the credits.
Yeah, I don't think he's the doll body at the end. I don't know. We never find out, really.
Doug, let me know about something.
There is that one problem. There's the after the credits scene.
Oh, I didn't see after the credits. Damn you, Netflix. I'm gonna have to look that up. Well, I guess let's talk about it. What the hell happened?
Okay, so it ends. Okay, this is super spoilers for anybody who wants to watch it if you haven't already. Super spoilers. If you don't want to stop listening. Skip ahead like 10 minutes or however long.
10 minutes?
I don't know. This may take a long time.
30 seconds.
Okay, yeah, 30 seconds. Okay, so the movie ends with him showing up at the girl's house, doing the hide the soul, right? And then the camera pans away as he starts to do the chant, and then the grandmother pops up. She's got the mask. She's got the bag over her head. She's like, ah! And then credits roll. Credits roll, credits roll, credits roll. At the very end, you see like Andy, or you see a dude, like, pick up a he's got a thing on his, like, doorstep, like, the box on his doorstep. He takes it inside. You see that on the shipping tag, it's Andy. And it actually is Andy from the original movies. And he sets it down, or whatever. Camera kind of pops, stays on the box, like, shows you the tag. Chucky pops out of the box. and Andy shoots him with a shotgun. Like, is just standing there waiting for him with a shotgun and just blows him away.
It's awesome.
So, I don't... Kevin is not... is.
I missed that on that. I'm sorry. But oh, it's probably better for that, you know.
My God.
Hey, you said spoiler alert. No.
But you told me to tell you.
Yeah.
Andy's at the end. He kills Chucky.
What?
With a shotgun blast.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder if...
Oh, this is about to get
sexy. Hold on.
Here.
This is going to get really
yeah,
sexy.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Oh, shit.
Yes, Debbie's about to rub me
Debbie,
down
get
on
it.
Cam.
There. Get it.
Ooh, oh, that feels cool.
We could be making so much money right now. People should be paying to see this.
You know what's funny is she doesn't understand that we can see her faces and how much disgust she has on it.
Oh, yeah. No, so what I could think would happen, I mean, like I said, this is just talking because I didn't even
see
it.
After the credits, you see essentially, it's an adult dude is getting, he gets the box, he puts it in, and he carries it inside. You see the shipping tag or whatever, it says it's Andy, whatever his last name is. And then he, like, you see the box, like, rip open and Chucky comes out. And then he just gets blown away by a shotgun. And you see, like, Andy sitting there, and he has, like, a one-liner. And you're like, fuck, and that's where it ends.
See, and as I'm saying, I wonder if, like, they switched bodies at the end, so the little girl was in Chucky, and Chucky was now the little girl, you know? I'm thinking that might have been it.
Well, that's a good point, too. And, Kev, your mic is really hot.
Sorry. I had to, like, get up front, so. How about now?
Good? Yeah, you're good.
Good.
Yeah, that's that's a good theory, yeah. But who wants to see a little murdering child? We want to see Chucky.
Everybody.
Happened at the end of Halloween.
That's what all the children of the corn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my bad. Yeah. My bad, guys. I just didn't know that this was a Chucky movie, and now we're going to watch little Sarah kill everybody.
Why not, man? That would be awesome.
What would be creepy is, like, does that mean Jen Tilly's going to make love to a little girl?
Oh, no. See, that's wrong. Yeah. Also, is Chucky's voice going to come out of her little body?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Another reason for Brad Dourif to...
Ray.
That was pretty good.
Oh, thanks, man.
I wish we would have got to have him.
Because
we saw him at Frightmare Weekend.
Yeah, I was just, you know, and I was too scared to go ask. Plus, we didn't have any, like, audio recording equipment with us. But, yeah I would have loved to have gotten them, like, you know... Hey, this is Chucky. You know, whatever. Like,
listen up, you sons of bitches.
You motherfucks.
Man. Yeah, it was great having him back in it, though. I'm really glad that everyone was on board for it. You know, like, it's really hard to get the same cast of characters anymore in movies like this. You know, in horror movies in general, you're lucky to get it. Especially, like, getting the director to commit that much. So... Yeah. I think the only ones who can actually do that today is, like, the Phantasm people. They were all over. Like, they've done every single sequel all together, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Jennifer Tilly's in the movie.
Yes.
Again. Same character, Tiffany. How did she get out of the doll body? Was that explained in one of the other movies? I don't remember that. She must have. Well, clearly she must have. She was in the movie.
Didn't she take over Jennifer Tilly's, like, in Seed of Chucky?
Oh, yeah.
So she took over Jennifer Tilly's body. So technically, like, yeah, she became Jennifer Tilly.
Right.
And she probably just dyed her hair blonde.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You're right. I remember that now. Because they were going to the movie that was being made about them, and Jennifer Tilly was playing the mom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the way.
That's why her voice was the same.
Apparently, like, she thought she had sex with Redman. Because Redman was the director.
That's right. I need to watch all those again.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
You just went to the sixth one. Should have watched the first five.
Hey, so what was your favorite death scene in this one? And what one was... Okay, so I want your favorite death scene and then your... what one you thought is the most gruesome where you almost winced? I know which one I want to hear your guys's. I'll start.
Well, I was going to say,
I'll start with that. The car accident. Like when the priest ate the rat poison and he tried to drive home.
Yes.
And they removed the hood part, and his head just went flying to the back seat or whatever.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Next to his, like, dismembered hand holding the
rosary. That was cool. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. That was
awesome. Yep. I remember that, like, before it even got there, when I was like, oh, that's right, that dude got decapitated. And then, like, his there, and I was like, maybe this isn't this movie. And then they pulled that away in his head. I was like, it was this movie. I totally forgot about that.
He was a strong character. I really liked that guy. I wish that he would have lasted a little bit longer.
Yeah. How did the dad go? I remember he's watching the camera. I don't remember that one. The nanny was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, that one was pretty,
because she gets electrocuted and, like, you see one of her eyeballs, like, the socket around it just, like, melt away almost.
Yeah.
To one of her eyes is just almost completely exposed in the socket. And then she's just there for, like, the rest of the movie. Like, they keep finding her. Like, oh, you're still just lying there.
That
was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, I gotta say that probably the car scene is the best one. Yeah. And then the most, like, wincing one was when the knife stabbed the eyeball. Like,
really?
Chucky was like, I just can't deal with things with eyeballs. Yeah. And when he's
you're
like...
just like your mother.
Yeah.
Your eyes are too close together.
And then I was just like, oh.
And then it comes like, falling down the stair later. It just bounces down the stair. And then it lands in front of the main character, and you can see the knife wound to the eyeball. Just so gross.
Yeah. Nika.
Nika, that's her name. Man, that's sucking ass. Terrible. Terrible at these names.
What about you guys for most, like, wincing or gruesome, like, ones that you, was there any that got you on edge a little bit?
The one with Jennifer Tilly, literally was watching it, and again, you know, I remember the first time being like, holy sh-, like, what, awesome, and this time it was like what happens here, oh my god, and it was the police officer in the car, maybe not the most wincing, but the one that, like, keeps fucking surprising me, every time, is the police officer. He steals Chucky from the, like, the evidence. I guess from this trial. Evidence lockup or whatever, yeah. And he's taking it to the car, and he sees the bag breathing. He can see the bag going in and out with Chucky breathing, and he's like, the fuck? And then Jennifer Tilly pops out of the back seat and just slices his fucking throat.
That was awesome. I did not expect that.
Yeah. Me neither. I didn't either.
That was a good one. That's probably not my favorite. I think the car accident one is still my favorite, but that one is the one that again, surprises me every time. So,
Kev,
I'm seeing a listing. I would say I have to agree with Doug on that. I mean, like, when Jennifer Tilly comes out and slashes that dude's throat, God, it was graphic.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I liked it a lot. No, I was saying, I just saw a side note. There's a movie. I don't know if this is being made or not. This was created 2nd of November 2013, and it says 2015 on it, but Legacy of Chucky. And that could be the next one. And that's supposed to have Brad Dourif, Fiona Dourif, Jennifer Tilly, Alex Vincent, who played Andy, and Catherine Hicks. I believe she was
She was the mom in the first one.
Yeah.
What? She's also the mom on Seventh Heaven. So
weird. So yeah. I don't know if this is being made or if this is still in concept or what.
But that's crazy.
Yeah.
IMDb. Is that what you're looking at?
Yep.
Legacy of Chucky. That's how you spell Chucky. Chucky.
Chucky will kill again in a seventh movie. Yep.
I don't see him.
There's Don Mancini.
Yep, that's the director.
The fans who've asked questions about Alice at the end of Curse of Chucky, all will be answered in part 7. And that was in December of 2013. That was on his Twitter.
So that's like 2 years ago.
He's probably, I mean, hopefully, maybe he can get some money together and do it. I think that'd be fantastic.
I mean, this movie, the one that we're talking about, came out in, like, October of 2013. So, I mean, you know, it's about that time.
Yeah.
That he may have been, like, filled in a lot of questions about, like, well, what's going to happen now? Mm-hmm. All right, all right. So did you guys watch any other movies, or have you ever seen any other movies that we were supposed to have watched this week?
Yes, I watched a horror film this week. And other than the Curse of Chucky. And it was Pixels.
Oh, God. No, that's horrible.
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
My bad. Okay.
No. Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Pan.
Oh, no, no, no. I'll talk about that on the other show. I did go see to that, but that wasn't a horror show.
So the other movies we were supposed to watch again were Fido, Monster Squad, Sleepy Hollow, Grabbers, Exorcist, and Housebound.
How many did you get through, Doug?
I watched... Okay, so Curse of Chucky, Monster Squad, Sleepy Hollow, Grabbers, and Housebound. So I have Fido and The Exorcist to watch.
Okay. Well, you got until tonight at midnight, so you're good.
No, I've got till tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To watch the other movies. Kev, you watched Monster Squad, yeah?
Yes. I watched Monster Squad and also Exorcist.
Oh.
So, yeah.
You want to talk about those? Monster Squad?
Nope. I don't want to talk about... No. Monster Squad is awesome. I mean, that's a movie I grew up watching, and it was kind of a tradition because it's a fantastic... It's like the Goonies meet, like, a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know, but
yeah,
it's not
exactly what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, because you have this group of kids that are kind of, like, pushed around and everything, but from the very get-go of the movie, they have this Monster Squad. They just talk about horror movies. They sit in their treehouse, which, a funny thing, side note, I always love that, like, okay, there's a guy who joins them, and he keeps asking, he's like, yeah, how the hell did the dog get up here? Because <You know? laughs> it was like a ladder you had to climb to get into the treehouse, and the dog was always in there. But it was, and I see it as Goonies because, you know, at one point they capture, or they don't even capture, they help, they discover Frankenstein, like the little girl does, and Frankenstein, like, hangs out with them and, like, fights the other monsters. So it's kind of like the whole sloth from Goonies. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. I mean, it's definitely memorable characters, and it's cool seeing, you know, this is one of those times, especially early in the 80s, you never saw mashups where you'd have, Dracula, Frankenstein, the werewolf, and
Swamp Thing,
but it was like the creature
from the
Black Lagoon.
Yeah, sorry.
So you had all these, like, different really cool, like, universal monsters, and mm-hmm. they were all in the same film. And I like how the Wolfman was innocent by day. Like, he was trying to get himself put away.
Yeah.
And he was trying
lock
to, like...
Lock me up. Like,
yeah.
Put me away.
Or he was warning people. He was like, they're coming for you. You gotta, you know, you gotta kill the... You gotta kill Dracula. You know, and it was... And then he turned into the wolf, and there's nothing he can do. So... Yeah. It's awesome. It was a great movie. One of my favorite lines throughout that still is, "Well, kick him in the nards. Wolfman has nards."
It was a fun one. What about The Exorcist?
Exorcist for me, that's another movie I saw young in life, and it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Oh. And then I watched it recently, and it's like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's not that bad when you're an adult. I don't know what it is, man. Like, they tell you growing up, like, oh, but it's the scariest movie of all time. It's the scariest movie of all time. Yeah. And then, like, you watch it at night, and you're like, young, and you're like, this is the fucking scariest movie of all time.
Yeah.
And then you watch it in the middle of the day, and you're like, this is not that bad.
It's not. And the only part that truly freaked me out, and it was such a quick scene, it was the one they threw in when they said, like, it was, like, a 20th anniversary, and they remember when they re-released it in theaters in, like, the early 2000s?
Yeah.
They threw in a scene where she walked down the stairs backwards, like, you know, on her hands.
Yep.
That little scene freaked me the fuck out, but that was it, you know. But I like it a lot. Exorcist is a staple, you know.
I think about, I don't want to say 10 years, because I felt it's been that long, but a couple years ago, we were watching it, and we're like, every October we used to do this thing called Zombie Fest. We just watch a bunch of horror films. It's kind of where this started, except we do it in a weekend. We just, from like Friday until Sunday, just like nonstop horror films. It was awesome. But we watched The Exorcist. We started that one night at, like, midnight. We're like, okay, last movie of the night before we go to bed. Let's do it big. Let's do The Exorcist. So we started watching it. And I think we got about to that scene where she came down the stairs. Because it's relatively early. It's not, like, super late into the film, if I remember correctly. Not like
Is before she really, like, full-on took
and
the
And I think at that point we went, you know what? Let's just watch this tomorrow. we stopped it. And then we finished it the next day. But yeah, then the next day, again, middle of the day, it's like the first movie we're watching around noon. And it was like, oh, this isn't that bad. Like, yeah. We had just worked ourselves up through watching, like, 18 hours of scary movies that by the time we got to that one, all of our nerves were just fried and just, like, it was like, nah, I can't do this. This is too much. But, yeah, we got to that scene. We're like, nah, done. Done. Dunzo. We'll watch it tomorrow. Over. Yeah, it's a good one. For sure. Definitely a classic. It's a must-see, also, I feel.
Hey, Kev.
Kind of like Rosemary's Baby, right? Like, it's a classic. It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe... Hi. You know, I keep saying that I am not into scary films. Maybe it's just I'm not into the newer scary films. Like, I really love the older stuff. Like, I really do. I remember watching it all and really enjoying myself. And I used to watch a ton of them all the time. And I don't know. I mean, I'm even into the new Evil Dead TV show that's coming out. And but for some reason, I don't like the new class of horror films. For some reason,
well, a lot of it, and I think it's just because people's like what we're afraid of has changed, and also there's sometimes these movies kind of get played out a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, where you see the same scary movie, like you were saying earlier, you watched the new Chucky movie and you knew exactly when he was going to pop out. You knew exactly who was going to die from the second they appeared on screen. You went, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You'll somehow make it to the end. We don't know how, but you will. But that, you know, a lot of those movies aren't made. Now it's kind of the torture porn-esque movies where it's just like, let's just sew this person's mouth to this person's asshole. I'm with you. Not about those movies. I don't like the gratuitous violence to an extent, like super slasher films where it's not about like the, you know, the fact that they're being haunted by a ghost. It's about the two hillbillies that are going to just, they're going to torture you for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. Probably longer in movie time, but in, you know, while we have to suffer through it for 2.5 hours too. Like, right. I'm just not about that.
Yeah.
That's not scary to me as much as it is just like gross.
So are you saying like Texas Chainsaw Massacre doesn't do anything for you? Cause that was pretty much the start of torture films, I would think.
Yeah. Now, that, like, is, you know, I like the original.
That's what I'm saying.
Some of those are just kind of creepy in a way. But yeah, there's some of the newer ones where it's just like, I don't know. Even like House of a Thousand Corpses and stuff. Like, I like those movies, but they're not my favorite. Like, I'm not watching them this year, I don't think. Oh shit, I think one of them was, I think Devil's Rejects on my list this year.
That's worth it. That's awesome. That movie was. It was much better than House of a Thousand Corpses.
Right, but you know, it's like, it's not my cup of tea, but I have it on here because, one, it's on Netflix, and because it is a must-see, but there are still some out there that's just like, you know, I'll pass. I don't need to see Hostel Part 3. Part 4. I don't need to see My Bloody Valentine or whatever, you know, just these.
Bloody Valentine wasn't bad. That was the one with the mine, right? Where like it was the coal mine.
I think so. Yeah.
That wasn't very. I mean, like, it was more of a slasher film, but it wasn't gratuitous as you think.
Yeah, but there's a lot. That's what seems to be the most thing at, like, horror right now is that people tend to. I guess I think they confuse being grossed out with like what's scary.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. I mean, that's all subjective. I mean, look at Japanese films. They can be scary without even having any gore in it. I mean, exactly. they will freak, like, The Grudge and, you know, Ju-on is what the Japanese version was. And Ringu.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's what he's saying is that, I mean, you substitute, like, you can scare the shit out of somebody with a noise or a dark hallway rather than just taking somebody and throwing 18 hooks in them and putting them in a tub and saying, now drain out.
Exactly. I mean, like, you gotta look, some of the movies that have made the most amount of money, like horror films in the past few years, it's actually been really interesting. It's been like
Insidious.
Insidious, but also Paranormal Activity. That movie cost $20,000 to make, the first one.
Oh, yeah.
And it made millions upon millions, like $50 million or something like that, like within the first like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. They made way more than that in the long haul, obviously. And again, you know, that goes back to like you're just watching like a home movie and like scary shit happens. But like depending on which version you watch, like no one dies. But maybe one person. I mean, like, but it depends on the version, because there's like one where like Miko gets out, there's one where Miko gets his neck snapped, there's one where the cop dies, there's one where she dies, there's one where she gets away. Just depends on which version you watch.
Yeah.
But But it, he dies, but like his he just gets his neck snapped. Like it's not he doesn't get his neck snapped and then his skin peeled off.
Mm-hmm. There, I think there's I think we're in the midst of a kind of an evolution of the horror film, anyways, to where, you know, we watch these films and like we said earlier, they're not as scary as they used to be when we're children. But if you make it an interactive experience like a video game, I get terrified. Like I know Doug says that he can't play them because of the fact that he gets too freaked out and everything like that. I think that's kind of, you know, what can still get us is the fact that when we're actually interacting with this stuff, then we get terrified. Like I can't even play the Amnesia game because I have it and I will not hit the start button because I'm scared because I've seen all the videos of everybody and I'm like, I'm not fucking around with that game. I'm not doing it.
Well, on that note, though, like I said this, when we were at Dallas Comic Con this summer, we did the Insidious VR experience, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, we went through like a small little haunted house trailer thing, and then we stood in a room in the dark for like 5 minutes, which was with like terrifying noises and shit happening around you. And then they took you into a room and they put a headset on you, and then you watched an interactive trailer. Like you sat in a chair and then you experienced the trailer and you could look around the room while all the stuff's happening around you. Like the second that scary movies become that sort of just like you can look around the scene while stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like the VR. Then everybody kind of gets their own thing where someone may not be scared at something because they saw it coming and it didn't jump out at them, where someone else may be like, oh, look at the rose over here, and then like behind them something happens and they turn and there's a ghost there. Kind of, you know, like that's how that was.
Oh yeah,
because there's a scene in that where like all these like they look like they're people in covered in sheets kind of start coming out of you at the dark
and you
the darkness.
Lean back
and I was leaning back and I eventually just closed my eyes because I was like, something is gonna go like right in my face, and I was like, I'm not doing it, man. I know it's coming, I'm just gonna close my eyes. And at one point, you know, you hear it, and I open my eyes and there was this like lady like right in my face, and I was like, all right, cool. I started laughing, and I think the person in the room, because I can't see if your eyes are closed and stuff, was probably like, this person's insane.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my god, this is awesome. Holy shit, looking all over the room.
Mm-hmm.
And then just giggling at the end, because I was like, this is how I would watch scary movies this way. This is how it's supposed to be done. Like, throw you in the middle of it. Yeah. Make it like a first person where, like, you're the character, and so you're walking around the room and stuff, and you can control what they're looking at. Now, obviously, they're going to have their dialogue or whatever, but, like, make it like that. Fuck yeah, man.
I think that's the way that you scare the shit out of everybody. Because that's, I mean, look, we're grown-ass men, and you can't fucking put a VR on us without us crying. No, no. And that was, like, baby shit, too. Like, a cloth over and you're just like...
Well, everything else that happened, too. I mean, that whole thing was creepy. Like, the fact that this old lady's talking to you, and this cart comes, like, willing out to the side. Like, if you look, you can just, like... That little tea tray just came out of fucking nowhere. There ain't nobody pushing that. And then, like, stuff starts rattling. And then, like, you hear, like, a poof up against the window. And you look over. And there's a silhouette of someone, like, up against the glass. And they're, like, scary. And she's like, oh, no, they're here. Like, what the fuck you mean? Oh, no, they're here.
Like, let me out. I'm not going. Yeah.
It was awesome. So... I don't remember what we're talking about. Just, I guess, how horror movies have changed.
Yeah, and how, like, we could probably, like, you know, the advancements of the horror genre are interactive.
If a lot more movies are going towards, like, the pointless gore and slasher, because that kind of seems what a lot of it is, although sometimes you do see these movies like The Conjuring and stuff that come out that are just fucking terrifying. And that one made so much money its opening weekend. That movie made $50 million its opening weekend. It came out in like June. So it was not one. It was not a. It's not in a October summer blockbuster. Either, yeah. And yet it made a fuck ton of money.
Yeah.
Do you think that like the industry is starting to swing back towards that? Towards the kind of. Because no one died in that movie either. Like.
I think there's a lot of people coming up in the industry that just want to be kind of original and want to give you a experience that you probably haven't seen before. Obviously, these come from a lot of indie projects that actually get distribution from the bigwigs because, you know, they see that, hey, maybe we can make some money off of this. Because anything that has a big tentpole film studio kind of follows the same shit that's been done before, right? Mm-hmm. But like all these other ones that come up and you're like, well, what the fuck is this movie? And you find out it's just an indie film that was $20,000 to make. And then all of a sudden, $100 million later, you know, then that's when the studio goes, all right, pump them the fuck out.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what happened with the Paranormal Activity movies, is that I think number five comes out, official number five or something like that, comes out in January. Like, that's what's really fucked up, is that we've gotten to the point where they used to come out every October. It was like 1 through 4, every October was a new movie. And then, like, then the marked ones came out last October, and like number five doesn't come out until this January. And it's like, why is there not one this October? Well, it doesn't, it's Paranormal Activity, it's gonna make money, it doesn't matter when we release it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like horseshit. But again, like, you get to, like, I recently watched Paranormal Activity, the marked ones. It's also on Netflix. I watched it back in like July or something, just because I need something to watch. And I'm glad I didn't recommend it for this month, because it's not good. It's too produced. Like, it looks like it actually had a budget. Like, there's CG stuff. There's this part where this kid gets, like, pulled into, like, another dimension. It's fucking stupid and crazy looking, and it looks like he's on a green screen in a studio, and then they've just superimposed him onto the shot of the room and done some After Effects to make the room look all warped and weird. Like, it just, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't look like that was captured with someone's home camera.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
So you're thinking they jumped the shark?
I still want to see the movies, because they're getting to the point where they're starting to be, you know, they're connected. There's something bigger happening, and I want to know. I've already seen the five movies. I'm fucking invested at this point. I want to see how the fuck this is going to play out, because I'm just curious. But yeah, I mean, four was just okay. It had some good creepy moments that were like that was well done. I want to know how they did that. But they're, you know. Nah, I mean, yeah, there's just, the first one was just so good in its originality, and I mean, that was really why it was so good. The fact such a low budget and you know, look like it, and yet you still believed that it was almost, that could have been real.
Mm-hmm. Well,
what else?
What else?
Fido is a good, you know, it's a zombie. We've talked about Fido before. Great zombie movie. Watch it. That's what I'm going to be watching probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
Fucking phenomenal. Grabbers was a funny kind of Irish movie about like aliens. These little like squid looking alien things. It was funny. And like it was surprisingly good. Like I was really surprised with it, as well as like the graphics and stuff for the aliens, because it's all CG. They're all CG, and yet there's times when you're like, okay, that doesn't look as good, and there's other times where it's like, well, that's pretty impressive. I'm really impressed with that. Like, that looks real. What was the other one? Housebound, which I think I talked a little bit about the show
right
this past week. Has nothing to do with House. Or whatever. that one is a New Zealand film, and also kind of funny, kind of in like that New Zealand humor, like other Peter Jackson scary movies, about this girl who is forced to return home after being arrested for like the umpteenth time, and they're finding out that like, okay, we've sent you to all these correctional facilities or whatever, or like halfway home sort of things, none of those work, so you're gonna go live with your mom and under house arrest for 8 months. And like, her house is haunted and all this stuff, and someone was murdered there, and them trying to find the truth out and stuff. Pretty predictable at times, but I liked it. And there's some pretty serious gore in it. Like, not like torture gore, but like someone accidentally gets stabbed with grass cutting, or not grass cutting, like bush cutting shears, those like and she pulls them out, and it's just like a fountain of blood. Just like, so much so that if that much came out of a person, they would die immediately. almost to the level of what was that movie, Army of Darkness, where the person falls down the well and it's just poof, almost to that level out of a person. It's like, that would never happen. That person died. And then they don't die. Like, it's funny. So check all those out. Check those movies out. And then we'll announce more on our show this week. Some more movies to watch.
Awesome.
And which one, whatever one we're going to watch this week and talk about next week.
We're going to announce it on tomorrow, on Tuesday's show. On Tuesday's show on the 8-Bit Geek, the normal podcast, and all that schnitznitz. Awesome show, guys. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Use hashtag 8-Bit Horror Fest to get involved. Let us know if you're watching anything. And you can also comment and stuff on our my God, why did I just forget it? My mind is drawn a blank.
Facebook? Our Facebook?
No. I was going to say on Audioboom, you can actually record your own reviews and we'll actually play it on the site. So all you have to do audioboom.com and then hit the record or upload to the channel. It won't go public. Trust us. It'll be private and then we can review it and maybe use it on the show.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be awesome.
So do that.
Also, listen to our interview with Kevin's buddy, Steve
Rudzinski.
Steve Rutabager.
Steve Winnebago.
Steve Winnebago.
Steve wants a bagel.
Oh, Steve, I want a bagel.
Steve wants a bagel. And he's a director of some slasher films that you can check out on like Amazon stuff. Listen to the interview. He drops all the information. I think the post has the links to all of his stuff. Go support him on Indiegogo. Or GoFundMe, or whatever the fuck he's on. GoFundMe.
Indiegogo.
Is it Indiegogo? Was I right the first time? Fuck! I thought it was GoFundMe.
You almost had it.
Oh, he said GoFundMe was too personal for like medical expense stuff. That's why he went with Indiegogo. You're right.
Yeah, we know he's right.
I did the interview.
No, I'll pay attention.
Yeah. Anyways, that was our show. I am Jeremy.
And I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
And we'll see you next week for hashtag 8-Bit Horror Fest.
Whoop, whoop.